Okay, praise the Lord, everyone. We are One of Messiah congregation, and we're going to start our study today. And I'm really happy that you're here on the Sabbath. We are One of Messiah. Just trying to unravel some wires real quick. Let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this study today. We thank God for His holy word in this world of darkness. His word is a light to our feet. I just thank God. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank you, Lord and God, for this building you've given us to use for a temporary time. Lord and God, thank you for being with us. We thank you for everything you give us. You give us everything free. Lord, because we give everything free, I feel like you give us everything free. And Lord and God, freely we have received and freely we give. We just thank and praise you today for the Sabbath day that we can come here and just worship your holy name. We thank you, Lord and God. I am so happy, Lord, we could put up that sign out there on the corner that has never even seen the Sabbath word before. Lord and God, let everybody's eyes be glued to it. Heavenly Father, bless the Sabbath, bless the reading, teach us something new. Bless the people that are with us and the ones that are not with us around the world in the body of Messiah. I pray you'll heal those that need healing. We believe you for healing. We believe you for salvation for those that need to be saved and deliverance for those that need to be delivered. Lord and God, I pray, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray one day you'll bring us back to the land of Israel. Heavenly Father, bless this day in the mighty name of the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We are One of Messiah congregation. Today's January the 26th, and it's 2008. But like I always do, I do this all the time, I always try to bring to your remembrance that we're in the 11th month of God called Shvat, and it's the 17th day. That's really important. And if you want to know where it says Shvat, in English it says Sebat in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7. Just so you know that, okay? Praise the Lord. Now, I always bring this up, but today I have a new twist to it. I always bring up, why are we here today? And, you know, I always tell you that the reason why we're here is because it's the Sabbath. But after this week's Torah portion, which is Yitro, means Jethro in English, I see the fourth commandment as part of the covenant that God gave us at Mount Sinai. So people that are not keeping the Sabbath, you're not keeping part of the covenant. And I never really thought of it like that, to be honest with you. And we read from the law and the prophets every Sabbath day, like they do. So praise the Lord. Let's continue on. 60 times in the Gospels and letters, it uses the word Sabbath. And of course, we see in Acts 13:13, when Paul and his company was loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Praise the Lord. So here they are, keeping part of the covenant right there. And after the reading of the Torah, which is the law, and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So here we have Paul and his company. I mean, you know, Apostle Paul, who wrote almost two-thirds of the letters, you know, here he is keeping the Sabbath with some other people. And this is Acts chapter 13. This is after the resurrection of the Messiah. They're still keeping the Sabbath. And they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, there's Jews that go to the synagogue every Sabbath day, and because they don't even believe the Hebrew scriptures, because they knew the Messiah not, nor the voices of the prophets, in other words, the words that they're reading every Sabbath day, they condemned the Messiah when he was on the earth. And they fulfilled the scriptures in condemning him. They didn't even know that it said that they were going to do that. Isn't that amazing? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So here's even the Gentiles. That means the people from other nations saying that, hey, we want to hear the word of God too on the next Sabbath. That means Saturday, not Sunday, okay? I want to make sure everybody understands that. Okay, and then the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city together came to hear the word of God. So that takes care of travel on the Sabbath, because if a whole city comes, that means they come from all different areas and directions, and they came to study. Now, here's Acts 15:21. For Moses of old had in every city them that preach him, This is again another reference to every time on the Sabbath day they're reading the Torah. They read Moses being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And of course, we all know Yeshua, who is the word of the Lord made flesh. Even he came to Nazareth in Luke 4:16, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, I pray to God, please give us our own synagogue. A synagogue is just a place where you meet. That's all it is. It's a Greek word, but it's, I'd still like to have one. In other words, our own building. That would be nice. Even though I like being in these kind of buildings, you know, we get to see people and talk to them. Yes. And anyway, Yeshua goes into the synagogue and he stood up to read. And guess what? Did he read anything? Was he reading Matthew? No. Was he reading Ephesians? No. Wasn't even written yet. Was he reading the book of the Galatians? No. Wasn't even written. He was reading Isaiah. He was reading the book of Isaiah. So this is important. He stood up and it was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, which is Isaiah, Yeshayahu the prophet, Hanavi. So here we have an Exodus. You have to get into your minds. You have to get this into your minds that you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. That means if you're not whatever they call Jewish, or you're not of the 12 tribes, if you're just a person from another country, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In other words, we're all one. So I want you to get into your mind that you are not spiritually, you have physically joined the Israel of God. I mean, you know, we're not floating around spirits right now. We're in the flesh, right? So when you join a club right now, you're physically joining it. So praise the Lord. It says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. So you might say, a perpetual covenant, how long is that? It's perpetual. Wherefore the children of Israel, okay. And this is the important thing. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It's a sign between God and us forever. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Now, these are verses that are hardly ever read in most churches, but it's a perpetual covenant. It's a sign. It's part of the covenant that we're going to find out. Very important. Ezekiel 20:12 has a similar message. Moreover, I gave unto them my Sabbaths. That sounds so special to me that God actually gave us his Sabbaths. And that's more than the weekly Sabbath, because there's Shabbat Shabbatons in the Feast of the Lord. That has information that is more than weekly Sabbath. And this is to be a sign between me and them, that you might know that I am the Lord that sanctifieth them. And hallow my Sabbaths, amen, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Isn't it nice to know you have a Lord your God? I love that. Luke 23:56. Here we have the first day of unleavened bread. You know, this was not the weekly Sabbath, but this is a Sabbath too. It says, and they returned and they prepared spices and ointments, and they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, this is the book of Luke. I don't know if a lot, when I was a, I did so many studies in my life, but the book of Luke even tells you that right there it's a Sabbath and a commandment, right? So that's really important. Matthew 24:20, it says, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. So here we have we even have Yeshua, who is, this is Jesus talking actually right here. Everyone believes in Jesus here, right? Of course. And Jesus' Hebrew name is Yeshua. In other words, there's no letter J's in Hebrew. So the name Jesus is just fine. But that comes from the Greek, which was in over 5,000 manuscripts, and that's provable. And but this is Jesus talking in the future. This is in the future too, in the last days. He says, "Pray that your flight be not in the winter." You could tell that because it's really cold even today, right? He says, "Neither on the Sabbath day." So there's still a Sabbath. That's what I'm trying to say. And this is a subject that here's Luke. See this Luke 23:56. I was in the Protestant world for about 16 years. I was a minister in like an Assembly of God Pentecostal world. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. And I used to be a minister there for 16 years. I never even seen that verse in the book of Luke. I'm talking Luke. Anyway, this is important. It says right there, the Sabbath day according to the commandment. I never even heard of that. Did any of you guys ever read that before in Luke? I mean, that's a commandment right there. Okay. Anyway, today's subject, oh, by the way, for the you folks that just walked in, even though we're just a few people right here, we're really on the internet right now with people all around the world. They're looking at us, right? I'll show you. Want to see? Let's show them. See these names here? In other words, these are people, I mean, everywhere from Sweden to Israel to Nebraska to... I don't know. Can anybody online here type where you're from? Where is everybody from? I don't know. Let's see. Florida, Alabama. Where else? Anybody else? Texas? Illinois? Uh-oh. Arizona. Pennsylvania, Nebraska. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody. All right. We'll get back to the study. I just wanted to show some people here that that even though we're just a couple of people physically, but there's all people around the world. Anyway, today's topic, what I wanted to talk about is God's covenant. How lives can be changed if you accept the Lord. And how we just read from the children of Israel when they were being pursued by the Egyptians, they were slaves. And how God changed them from slaves to people of God again. In other words, if you just read Exodus, you'll find out they were slaves running away from these Egyptians. They were being pursued, you know. Anyway, we're in Exodus chapter 12 in the first month, okay? Now, this is really important. This is something you should have to, you have to think of this really slow, okay? And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying... This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It's the first month of the year to you. Well, that's funny. Wait. This month right here, wait a second. You mean God has his own calendar? See, we live in this place called America, right? America, every time you wake up in the morning, you look at this calendar. It's called the Gregorian calendar. And that's Pope Gregory. This calendar that we use every day is a Catholic calendar. It's made by Pope Gregory. But no one really knows that God has his own new year. And I'll explain it to you. God's new year, this might sound really interesting to you. God's new year is in Aviv. Aviv is spring, when everything comes alive, when everything comes back to, it starts blooming, when everything starts growing. God's new year is when everything's happy in the spring. But we're doing Pope Gregory's New Year in the winter when everything's freezing. Which New Year do you like? The good one or the freezing one? Would you like God's New Year or Pope Gregory's? I think I'm going to like God's New Year, right? Because God's is nice and warm and all the flowers are growing and the birds are singing. Pope Gregory's New Year, everything's cold and freezing and dead. You know, so I like God's New Year. And that's in April. God's New Year is around April, when everything's warm. And the children of Israel, they journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. Did everybody catch that, what I just said? God's New Year, the calendars that used to be started in God's time. God's New Year is in the spring. Guess what? When everything comes to life, everything's new. Symbolic of the resurrection, symbolic of your rebirth. God's new year is when everything's new. But we're all brainwashed doing Pope Gregory's new year in the winter when everything's frozen and dead. Anyway, let me get back up to that verse. Okay. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, and there were about 600,000 on foot. They didn't have cabs. They didn't have cars. They're on foot, right? Besides men and women. So there's over 1 million people there. And there's the mixed multitude, the people that are not Jewish or not Israelites. They went up also with them and the flocks and the herds and very much cattle. And they baked this thing called unleavened cakes. That's hamatzah, you know, the matzah. And it says the cakes of dough, which they brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord, see, I love when God calls them the host of the Lord, they went out from the land of Egypt. It says, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. Now, that children of Israel, a lot of people, they always think, you know, a lot of churches today, they teach, pray for Israel and we're the church. That's not correct. You know why? Because there's only one body. I could show many, many verses. There's one law, one faith, one baptism, one God, right? But nowadays, they got a little mixed up. They got everybody praying for Israel when we're supposed to be part of Israel. When people tell me to pray for Israel, I go, thanks, I'll pray for myself. And because it says that we're supposed to be, even the people that are not Jewish, once you join the Israel of God, you become as the homeborn. There's no difference. There's one body. You're like Ruth. Ruth said, your God is my God. Your people are my people. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I'll die. She became a part of the Israel of God. Now, I'm not talking about just Israel out there that doesn't believe in Yeshua and doesn't believe in the Hebrew Scriptures. You know, we pray that some of these Jewish people will wake up one day. But we are all one. Anyway, getting back to this, let's see, where was I? Next, I think I finished that verse. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance. It's an ordinance of the Passover. And we're going to be having a wonderful Passover at our congregation. It's really nice. We don't do what Judaism does. We don't follow Judaism here. We follow the Bible. Judaism gives you an egg and a bone. We actually have roasted lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs, like the Bible says. And we show how it relates to Jesus, Yeshua. He is our Passover. So a lot of these things, even though they have this meaning, they also have another meaning. Because first comes the physical, and then comes the spiritual. Apostle Paul explains that. Anyway, so every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, he may eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. Those are people that have not joined the body of the Messiah. In one house it shall be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh about out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. That's just like the Messiah. Not one bone of his was broken when he was on the cross, on the tree. Remember that? And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Who should keep it? All, right? And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. No uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. And that's just the way it goes, whether people like it or not. Here's what I was talking about a minute ago. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. So how many laws? How many gospels? Nowadays, they're preaching two different gospels. There's only one. There's one law to the ones that are homeborn Israelites and to the stranger that joins them. They become one. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Exodus 13:3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day. How many people you know remembered the Passover? No one. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leaven be bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month Ha'aviv, or in English, Abib. Ha'aviv is a very important word. I'm not going to explain that right now. I have explained on other studies. But that's the first name of the first month of God. Ha'aviv. It's the newness. Of course, it was the barley harvest, but it's the newness of the barley. Because God doesn't use barley for signs and for seasons. He uses the greater light and the lesser light. Anyway, so that's the first month of God. God actually has a name of a first month, and it's also called Nisan, of course. Now, salvation, another word for salvation is Yeshua, okay, cometh in the third month in the morning. So salvation comes in the third month in the morning. There's so much to that, those few words. Exodus 14:24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. Excuse me.
The third day.
This is the third day. Excuse me.
Yeah.
This is the third day.
Yeah, the third day, not the third.
Okay. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. So this is really, this word morning is really important. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. So this is really important. Remember, they had to be ready against the third day. Later on, we're going to read, okay? But this is really important right here. This is before that. This is when, in the morning, the Lord troubled the Egyptians.
It's the same time. Yeah. Israel,
yeah. This is very... We're going to go through this as we go through the study. Thank you. Next screen. Proverbs 35. For his anger, it says... Now, this is really... I literally love this because this is Psalms, which is like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years later. It says, for his anger endured but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in the morning, we have Moses stretching forth the rod and God destroying the Egyptians. Salvation is wrought in the Gospels and letters. Yeshua, Jesus, raises from the dead in the morning on the third day. Same thing, you know, same parallel. In the morning, a covenant was given to us. And this is in the third month. This is the third month, which the children of Israel were gone out of Egypt. The same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. I don't know if you ever thought about going into a wilderness. I'm not talking about like, you know, like around here, there's a few little forests you can go into. You know, it looks pretty drastic. But this is, I'm talking wilderness. There's nothing there except mountains. Nothing. I mean, we're talking nothing. These guys had to travel in the wilderness. And it was the third month, and they came to the Mount of God in the wilderness of Sinai. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know about computer work, but there's something in computer work called the if and the then statement. God has his own if and then statement. He says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. We're going to find out what this covenant is here. Then, there's the if and the then, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people of the earth. For all the earth is mine, God says. Isn't that nice? It says, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And that's you. That's me. Now, Peter, remember Peter? He's a great apostle. He's talking to the strangers. No, these are not Israelites. He's talking to the strangers which now believe with the same words as the Lord told, with the same words that the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel. Peter says, Peter, knowing the same understanding that's in Exodus 12:48-49, above that I just read, that there's only one law for all. He tells the strangers in 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, to the strangers which are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Okay? He's talking to these strangers. And then in Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he's saying the same thing that Moses told the children of Israel. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the Lord. Right, so I mean, it's the same message. Same message, right? Anyway, in the third day, the third month, Sivan. This is what I was talking about. Exodus 19. God said, be ready against the third day. For in the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Could you imagine if you knew right now that if, like, say, somebody came and told us that in 3 days from now, God's going to come down. How scared would you be? I'd be so frightened. I'd be like, whoa. He said, go wash your clothes and everything. I'd be like scrubbing them. You know, I'd be like. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. There's that third, number three again, and the morning again. Whether it be the third day or the third month, I'm talking about the number three, and I'm talking about the morning. So there's something called in the Bible prophetic pictures. There's something called prophetic forecasts. There's something called like an indirect forecast. And that's what we're talking about here. The number three and in the morning. Now, this is so scary to me that I can't even imagine being there. I mean, I can't. Moses is getting information from God that God's going to come down on Mount Sinai. I can't even imagine that. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp, that would be me, really trembling. I would be more than trembling. I'd probably faint. I'd be out cold. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord actually descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. Listen to this. This shocks me out of my mind. And God answered him by a voice. Praise the Lord. Whew. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up at the top of the mount, and Moses went up. I mean, can you like really? I know like today is just, you know, some day, you know, it's just a day of the week. It's the Sabbath, of course. It's a commandment, the fourth commandment. I don't mean that. I mean, today's just a day. And, you know, you look out the window, you say, where is God? What are you talking, you know? Like, how do you relate to that? But this thing, God actually came down. I mean, for real. I'm not talking, I'm talking about the God of Israel. That's so scary. Just think, he actually came down upon Mount Sinai. He created the whole universe. But at the same time, he can come down on the mount, and he also can come into your heart, if you let him. The Lord spoke on the third day, and he declared unto us his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. He commands us. He is definitely a king. He commands us. He doesn't go, well, if you have time, or think it over, or... He commands us to perform the Ten Commandments. In Hebrew, it's Aseret HaDevarim, the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And we're going to check these out right now. I went to a church recently, went there for about 3 weeks in a row. I even asked ministers. Nobody even knows where the Ten Commandments are in the Bible. I said, no one knows that. This country that we're standing on, this was founded upon the Ten Commandments, supposed to be. Nobody even knows where they are. I said, well, here's one place, Exodus 20. Commandment 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I'm the Lord your God. A lot of people don't get that. He's the Lord, which have brought us out of the land of Egypt. You might say, well, I've never been in Egypt. Well, Egypt is a type of your last life of sin. Your last life of not being with the Lord. Yeah, he brought us out of our own Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We were in bondage to the devil. You're not supposed to have no other gods before me. Well, wait a minute. I thought there's a million ways to heaven. What about Allah? No. How about Muhammad? No. How about Buddha? No. What about Mahaji Baba? What about, I don't know, whatever god you can make up? No. There's no other god. He said, you thou shall have no other gods before me. That's commandment one. Commandment two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Do you believe that? You're not supposed to make any likeness of anything that's in heaven. Really? Or that is in earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. How many pictures today do you see of Jesus? Huh? You see any pictures of Jesus anywhere today? That's not Jesus. You know why? Because if you collect all the pictures of Jesus that they have running around in the world today, hundreds of them. Which one? Who is it? No, you're not supposed to do that. That's the guy in the frame. Now you might say, well, I don't know about that. No, I'm just reading what it says. You're not supposed to make. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. I had a dream the other day. I'll tell you a quick little dream I had. This was like 2 days ago. In my sleep, I get dreams once in a while, and I was having this dream with talking to this man, and I was trying to get him to read the Bible, you know, and he wouldn't read it, and I said, come on, just read a little bit, and then finally he wouldn't do it. I said, okay, I'll read it. So I was reading it to him, and I was reading this, and then the Lord in the dream said to me, read this other verse, and when you go to the Gospels, one of the Gospels says, the Lord says, you are from beneath, I am from above. In the dream, and I thought, he's from above. Then in the dream, he took me to this verse, you're not supposed to make any likeness of anything that is above. And I thought, oh, no. You know, people today do things innocently without even knowing it's wrong. There's lots of pictures of Jesus. Which one is it? That'd be like somebody taking a picture of you and saying, here's 50 other pictures of you, and they're all not you. I mean, that would be ridiculous, right? Anyway, that's actually a commandment. But a lot of people don't care about that commandment. Anyway, you're not supposed to fall down and bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. There's actually people that hate the Lord. But I like this one right here. He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and what? Keep his commandments. That's only commandment two. Here's commandment three. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There's a lot of people doing that every day. I'm sure you're aware of that. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. A lot of people think they're getting away with everything. Uh-uh. They're still going to meet the Lord. I mean, one day, just think, everybody meets the Lord. When you meet the Lord, it's going to be totally different than we think today. Because I can't even imagine you're going to give an account for everything you ever did. Could you imagine that? You're going to try to give a reason why you did it. But God's going to look right through us. We're going to be judged for everything we ever did. The Bible says we're going to be judged according to our works. There's a lot of people don't have any works. Some people forgot they're the light of the world. Did you remember that last week? Did you remember you were the light of the world last week? Did you? Did you remember you were the temple of the Holy Spirit last week? Some people forget that. You got to be careful because you might be the only light that somebody sees wherever you work or wherever you go. And your testimony is very important because people are watching you to see if you really believe, you know. Anyway, we don't want to serve God in vain. Yeshua says, Jesus says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In vain they worship me. So we don't want to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now, this is commandment four. This is why we're here today, because It's a commandment. The Bible says, and even in the book of Acts, we just read it this morning, the book of Acts, after the resurrection, everybody met in the synagogue, or synagogue's a place to meet, on the Sabbath day, and they studied the law and the prophets. The word Sabbath is 60 times in the Gospels and letters. I'm not even talking about the other 77%. I'm talking just the Gospels and letters. But if you look it up in history, you'll find out the Catholic Church admits they took out a big eraser and they erased the fourth commandment. Listen to this. Oh, they don't believe in Catholics don't believe in the second commandment. They have all kinds of statues. They fall down and they're praying to Mary, Jimmy, Henry, Benny, everybody except God. Satan got everybody breaking commandments. They don't even know it. But that doesn't make you innocent. You're still guilty. You know why? Because you have a Bible. You can't tell God, I didn't know. Look at this. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do thy work. But the seventh day, which is today, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, you are not supposed to do any work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your men servant, if you have any, or your maid servant, or even your animals, your cattle, or even the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and he rested the seventh day from. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's the fourth commandment, but that's erased. Nobody knows about that anymore. If you ask most people don't even know where the Ten Commandments are, and they most churches, they don't even heard of the Sabbath. They go, that's Jewish. No, it's not Jewish. God made the Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. There was no Jews. There was no Israel. It's a commandment. That's why in Exodus chapter 20, God opens the sentence, remember the Sabbath day. How many people remembered it? How many people you know? No, hardly anybody. It's sad. So we believe you can go to church any day you want. Go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday night starts the Sabbath, according to the Bible, which is a commandment. No buying and selling. No going to restaurants. See, Satan's got the world fixed up where, man, all the sales are on Saturday, right? All the bargains, all the things you can get discounted. It's pretty scary. If you were the devil, that would be a perfect plan because it's a commandment. Let's go to commandment 5. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, that's a good commandment. Are you supposed to honor your father and mother? How? Let's say they're drunks or drug addicts or thieves. How do you honor them? You honor them by telling them the truth. Don't do that, Mom. Don't do that, Dad. You're breaking the commandments. Plus, it's bad for your health. That's how you honor them. It doesn't mean let them keep going on in their ways. And this is the first commandment with promise. You know how like everyone's looking for the fountain of youth? Well, do this commandment. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the first commandment with promise. Here's the sixth commandment. So small, but it's so big. Thou shalt not, that word kill is murder. You're not supposed to murder anybody. And you're not supposed to hate your brother in your heart or your sister, because that's murder. See, the world is not going to lock you up in jail or give you the electric chair if you hate your brother in your heart. But in God's eyes, it's still murder. See, God looks at things different than we do. We're just people. We let everyone off the hook. Give another chance. God says, thou shalt do this. Anyway, you know, here's another one that sounds so small. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You can commit adultery physically. You can commit adultery in your heart. You could commit adultery spiritually by going to get another god. That's called, you can have spiritual fornication. Spiritual, when you worship other gods. You know, it's very sad. Even in our town here, you know, we're in a place called Brentwood, And Nashville, but I looked up on the internet one day, there's many places around here that worship the devil. There's a lot of witches. I don't know if you've looked that up on the internet. It blew my mind. I was like, wow. There's people out in Brentwood that they say, I'm a witch, call me up. I'm thinking, forget that. I mean, there's all kind of, you never know. I mean, it's really strange. I do a lot of computer work, so I look up a lot of things on the internet. All right, that's Commandment 7. Commandment 8, thou shalt not steal. Now, you could steal a lot in a lot of ways. You could steal, of course, physical things. You could steal the truth out of someone's heart. I mean, there's a lot of ways of stealing. You know, you could steal something from someone, you know, mentally, psychologically. There's a lot of ways you could steal. You're not supposed to steal. Commandment 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That goes on all the time. People are always talking about each other. Then they go, you didn't hear that from me. You're bearing false witness. You're a liar, right? People say, well, you know, so-and-so, I don't want to talk about them, blah, 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 blah. But you didn't hear that from me. We're not supposed to do that. You know why? It's a commandment. You know what's scary about these commandments? John, you know John, remember the guy John in the Bible? Yohanan in Hebrew? He says, what is sin? That's a question in the epistles. What is sin? Everyone turned it into missing the mark. No, we're not playing horseshoes. We're not playing darts. Sin is breaking the commandments. That's sin. Matter of fact, John says, what is sin? The answer is, sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. Ugh, that sounds terrible. Because how much sin is going to heaven? Zero, right? So what happens if you break in one of the commandments? Knowingly or not. Is that called sin? Yeah. Better ask the Lord to forgive you and make sure you stay alive. Because there's still a heaven and a lake of fire. That's the whole reason we're saved. I thank God that we're saved by faith and through grace. There's nothing we could ever do to get saved. But I mean, after we're saved, man, we want to do something for God. Because remember how hard you used to work for the devil? Don't you want to do something for God? So at least let's try to keep his commandments and be a light to the world. Commandment 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Oh man, I wish I had that guy's house over there, man. So I should have that, not him. Don't do that. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Oh man, I need her. I need 5 wives. Nor his men servant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that's your neighbor's. You're not supposed to covet nothing, okay? That means, the Bible says, be content with what you have. Just think, everything that looks like, you know, things that you might want. Does anyone remember a rental truck following a hearse when they're going to the cemetery? You know, like they're bringing all their stuff with them. Did anyone ever bring their stuff with them when they died? This is all a trick. Even though it's nice, it's okay to be prosperous. It's okay to be successful. Just don't put it before God. Don't make that your God. Because that's the first commandment. You're not supposed to have any other gods. Anyway, and the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Boy, I can't even imagine one little word like that from heaven, like just anything. It says, you shall not make me golds of silver, neither shall you make me golds of gold. Gods of gold. You shall not make me gods of silver. Wait a minute. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver. neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. So don't make me gods of silver, and don't make you gods of gold. If you read it right, you get a different meaning, huh? Deuteronomy 4:12, and the Lord spake out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. God hates when you make an image of him, because no one's ever seen God. What's God look like? We've seen the word of the Lord. See, God can't die, right? Everyone agree on that? God can't die? You agree? You agree on that? So God is so beyond intelligence. He spoke the word, and the word is God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that could actually die for the sins of the world. How about that? I would have figured that one out. You know, like when you're talking on the phone, your word, people recognize it's you. But we don't have the power to go through the wire and make it appear in the person's house, right? Not yet, I guess. But what I'm trying to say is the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And that word became flesh, which is God, but it was in a body form that could die. Isn't that amazing? Sinless. No sin. Just for us. Would you die for somebody? You wouldn't die for a bunch of sinners, would you? I wouldn't. Just think, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for when we were sinners. I wouldn't do that. Anyway, it says you heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant. Here's the covenant we just read. Even he commanded you to perform. He commands you to perform even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. So this is one of the covenants of God, the 10 commandments. Do you want to be a part of his covenant? Today's part of his covenant, the 4th commandment. This is a part of the covenant of God. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. How many times does God say this? I'm serious. If you've seen how many times God talks about this, you'd be shocked. You saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Don't make any images, I'm telling you, lest you corrupt yourselves. A similitude is the image of a something. No one's seen God's face. Of course not.
That's why he didn't show him his face.
That's exactly right. A similitude, something that's an image of something. Yes. No one's seen God. He said, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image. They got people today making little images of like a little image of Jesus or a little image of God, and they fall down and they talk to it. That thing was made in Japan, man. That's not God. Or made in Korea, you know what I mean? God's in heaven. You could talk to him right here. Praise the Lord. I know God hears us right now. I actually believe God sees us right now. Praise the Lord. And that's a scary little feeling. Anyway, so he doesn't want us to corrupt ourselves at the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male and female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flyeth in the air. Just think, in other religions, they got little pictures of like animals they worship. Catholics have Mary, pictures of Mary they all pray to. They actually pray to statues that can't see, breathe, or move. People talk to pictures. That's the point, of course. He doesn't want one of him, of course. That's what we're talking about. We are talking about, you can't make a picture of God, because what does he look like? You know why you can't make a picture of God? Because pretty soon, you won't be talking to God. You'll be talking to the picture. Do you follow what I'm saying? You can't talk to the picture. You're supposed to be talking to God. Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about. In other words, let's say I make this and I say, this is God. I'm not going to be praying to God. I'm going to be praying to this thing, right? Don't do that. I already know if you have a picture of Jesus in your house, I already know this. Sooner or later, when you're walking by, you're going to look at it and go, start talking to it. But it's just a picture. God is in heaven. Anyway, next verse, please. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven when thou seest the sun or the moon or the stars. People do this constantly with the zodiac and the what's your sign? It says, even all the host of heaven shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God had divided under all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord had taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto you a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Praise the Lord. So salvation, I'm showing a lot of examples today of indirect forecasts and a lot of examples of things that you could sort of match up between the Tanakh, or known as the Old Testament, and the Gospels and letters. Tanakh is an acronym for the Torah, which is the five books of Moses, the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and the Kutuvim, which is the writings, which is the epistles and everything else. Anyway, salvation again on the third day in the morning. Here's Matthew, a very strong brother. He says, from that time began both Yeshua, that's how you spell Yeshua, which is Jesus, to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So there's the number three again. Okay? Salvation. When the Lord died and rose from the dead, salvation is big time wrought. And Mark 16:2, very early in the morning, the first day of the week. So there's the significance again of the morning, the first day of the week, which is known today as Sunday. They came unto the sepulcher of the rising of the sun. At the rising of the sun. Today, like tomorrow, is known as the first day of the week, Sunday. And if you look that up, the word Sunday actually comes from when they used to worship the sun. It was Sunday. I don't know if anyone's ever looked up the names of the days of the week. You can look it up in the encyclopedia or nowadays on the internet or anywhere. But when you find out where they come from, it's like weird. But anyway, and when Yeshua, Jesus, was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. Whew. Anyway, again, there's the number three again, the third month. The third month in the Bible is called Sivan. Now you might say, well, where does it say that? That's in the book of Esther. God has an actual calendar. You know what? I was in my house one day. I was thinking, you ever watch like those X-Files or the Twilight Zone or any of those kind of series, you know, or, you know, strange kind of, you know, sci-fi kind of programs? I almost felt like that because it felt like somebody just got a big eraser and erased God's calendar. Nobody even knows about God's calendar, which makes way more sense. God's new year is in the spring when everything comes back to life in April. The calendars used to start in March and April until Pope Gregory changed everything. He's got everyone doing New Year's when it's freezing and everything's dead. Is that new? No, God's new year is in the spring when everything comes to life, symbolic of the resurrection, symbolic of your rebirth. Birds are singing, everybody's happy. It's a new year. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. But we're all trained in doing Pope Gregory's. Isn't that nice? When everything's dead and frozen. And here we have God's third month, Sivan, right in the Bible. Nobody knows that. It's been erased from people's minds. Not even to look for it. Anyway, the word Pentecost in the Greek means 50. And that's when the Spirit was given, Acts chapter 2. But people don't even know. That's really, if you go back to the Torah, that's really Chag Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. So in other words, over here, God's giving the law on Mount Sinai. Thousands of years in the future, the actual same day, the Holy Spirit is given. It's even. You follow me? In other words, over here, on the 14th of, we're going to read it, on the 14th of Aviv, they kill the lamb. Over here, Jesus dies the exact day. Same time. I mean, this was a forecast of this. Perfect. Anyway, now it says, thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. Today, nowadays, nobody even keeps Pentecost. I went around to some churches, you know, every year. I say, hey, today's Pentecost. And you go, what's that? I said, that's right in the book of Acts. What do you mean, what's that? It's when the Holy Spirit was given, which was, we're going to read, which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Anyway, thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks, and that's the first fruits of the wheat harvest, okay? He's telling you to observe it. Now, here's what I was talking about, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost, which is the Feast of Weeks, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Unfortunately, there's some churches today that they make this a mockery. They just speak in tongues at will. You can't do that. I remember the churches that I used to be in, they're more charismatic. They were just like a Pentecostal. They just speak in tongues. Like, right now I'm going to speak in tongues. You can't do that. That's as the Spirit gives utterance. See, they made a mockery of it. That's why nobody believes that anymore. But there really is a gift of tongues, for real. But nobody believes it because everybody made a joke out of it, and everybody, you know, the devil wins again, which is terrible. But Peter stands up with the 11, lift up his voice, and he says, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. It says, these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. What's the third hour of the day?
9:00.
Third hour of the day is 9 o'clock around, 9 a.m. There's a whole way of doing the times and the days in the Bible. God has 12 hours a day and 12 hours of night. But that's another whole interesting study. But anyway, Peter's saying, these guys are not drunken. What are you talking about? He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Anybody ever read Joel lately? Remember him? Joel? He's in the Bible. And it shall come to pass in the last days, it was the last days even back then, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, it happens to everybody. The old men are going to dream dreams, and that's what's happening to me. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So there's handmaidens. Those are called women. I went to some churches just recently. Women are not supposed to talk. Teaching the church. I was thinking, wow, they didn't read Acts or the book of Joel where it says God's going to pour out his Spirit on his handmaidens and they shall prophesy whether these other people like it or not. Anyway, and I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood, fire, and pillars, vapors of smoke. The sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just think, the Lord one day is really going to come. Can you really believe that? I mean, there's been a lot of generations before us. They all thought the Lord was coming, and they're dead. We hoping the Lord comes now, too, in our generation. The only thing different with our generation is one thing that's big time different. Right now, right this minute, in Israel, there's a Sanhedrin. They were created 2.5 years ago. The Sanhedrin, that was the group that was around during the time of Jesus, Yeshua. There hasn't been a Sanhedrin in 1,800 years. Now there's really one. Right now, they want to build the third temple. Right now, as we're living, they want to do blood sacrifices again. I mean, this wasn't happening years ago, so I see that it is getting close. Anyway, where are we? So here we have Acts 20 and Corinthians, right? This is after the resurrection. Apostle Paul was still doing Pentecost. How come? Because it's one of the feasts of the Lord. It's Chag Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. Look at this. Paul determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. That was one of the pilgrimage feasts you had to be in Jerusalem. And here's Corinthians. I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So what I'm trying to say is, even though nobody acknowledges it today, it's still a feast of the Lord, but it's been erased. We're talking Twilight Zone. You know, we're talking, no one ever heard about that. Here we have the apostles doing it. So the third day is very important. And Hosea says right here, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he had torn and he will heal us. He had smitten and he'll bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. Praise the Lord. And we shall live in his sight. Praise the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, that his going forth is prepared for the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to show you something that's really important. Now, this is what we do, and this is in the Bible. And this will be on my website. I know you're not going to be able to memorize this, but the spring feast of the Lord. Maybe you never heard of the feast of the Lord. They're not the feast of the Jews. It's the feast of the Lord that's been erased from everybody's minds. Nobody even knows about the feast of the Lord. They're right in the Bible. Anyway, Aviv 14, which is April 21st, 2008, on Monday, is Passover. This is on the website in case you need to copy this later. Aviv 15 is April 22nd. On Tuesday, look at that. Even Tuesday there is a Sabbath. What that means in Hebrew, it's a Shabbat Shabbaton, a special holy day. And it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's another feast right there, First Fruits. I'm going to explain to you why we do this in a minute. Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits. And there's the end of unleavened bread right there, which is a Sabbath, okay? You guys can read all this on the website. Now, you might say, well, man, what is that? And then, of course, the last one is Pentecost that I just read to you, right? You might say, I never even heard of this stuff. What are you talking about? What is this, right? Well, let's look at it a little closer. Let's go to the next screen. Now, at the time of the Lord, when the Lord was walking on the earth, when did Jesus die? When did the Yeshua die? Everyone, the Catholics got him dying on Friday. That means there's over 1.5 billion people can't count to three. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning. That's like, hello. I mean, you know, I don't know what kind of calculator they got. That's impossible. You can't get it. But I also want to explain this to you. The spring feast of the Lord fulfilled by Messiah's first coming. And then we have Passover, which is Pesach. Unleavened bread is Hag HaMatzah. Day of First Fruits is Bikurim. And the Feast of Weeks is Hag Shavuot or Pentecost. Okay? So, I'll explain it in a little more detail. The Passover, everyone's heard of Passover because everybody thinks the Jews do it. We're Jews that believe in the Messiah, but everybody's supposed to be doing it. But we understand why we're doing it. We're not just doing what the regular Jews are doing. We understand that Jesus, Yeshua, died on Thursday at about 3 o'clock, the first day. And the reason why we do it, we're remembering the deliverance from Egypt, the Egyptian bondage. An unblemished firstborn male lamb was sacrificed, and its blood was poured upon the altar. A lamb was selected from each family. And 4 days before the lamb was to be slain, it was brought into the home for a 4-day examination period. Okay, it was taken out to be examined for 4 days. That's the most important thing. And what I'm getting at that is, remember when Yeshua rode into the temple on the donkey, and the chief priests examined him, trying to find fault for 4 days. That's the exact same thing. Of course, there was no fault. Anyway, Yeshua is the sacrificial lamb who died for our sins. And that's in Nisan 14, the exact time the lamb was to be slain. Yeshua, Jesus, was slain the exact time, except thousands of years apart. In other words, this was all a picture of the coming lamb without spot or blemish, the Messiah. Nisan 10 was the day that they selected the lamb. And Yeshua, there, I just said that, Yeshua rode into the temple on a colt, declaring himself to be the Messiah. Yeshua, Jesus, same thing I just told you, had a 4-day examination period before the religious leaders and was found without blemish. Praise the Lord. Then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is why we do this. Unleavened bread is the, of course, we see that the next day is a Sabbath. It's the first day. Or if we're looking at it the other way, it's the second day, in which it says you can count part of the 14th day as a day, or you could be the first day. And right here it says, and they returned and they prepared spices and ointments. This is the book of Luke. People should almost like mark this in their Bibles, because nobody ever reads that verse. It says, the book of Luke says, they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Remember the commandment we just read in Exodus? Nobody ever reads that verse, because nobody has a Sabbath anymore. But that's right in the book of Luke.
It's not the regular Sabbath.
No, we know it's not the regular Sabbath, but it is still a Sabbath. That's my point. This is the first day of unleavened bread. I know that. I'm talking about it's a Sabbath, but that's still not even recognized in the Gospels. I don't know why. It's right in the Gospels. Anyway, leaven always symbolizes sin. Unleavened bread speaks of sanctification. God told the Jews to cleanse all the leaven from their houses and eat only unleavened bread, the matzah, for 7 days, symbolizing a holy walk with Him. Of course, Yeshua, Jesus, is the bread of life. John chapter 6 talks all about that, without sin. Jesus, or Yeshua, was born in Bethlehem. You ever hear of that? In Hebrew, Bethlehem actually means Bethlehem, which means house of bread. He really is the bread from heaven, for real. And just as the matzah is unleavened, sign of no sin, so is the Messiah, sinless. He's the only one that was ever sinless. And that's what we're talking about, these feasts. We can always talk about these in more detail. I know you don't get it right off the bat, but I mean, you know. The Feast of the Lord, the fall feasts talk about the second coming of the Messiah. And that it says that this feast falls on the evening after Yeshua, Jesus, was placed in the sepulcher. That's the first day of unleavened bread. Okay. So Nisan 16, this is all at the time of the Lord. The weekly Sabbath, second night, third day, in which you, it says, if you count part of the 14th as a day, or could be second day, Saturday. That might sound a little confusing. We could show you what that means. We have a video you can watch on this, which is probably a little easier than I'm reading this. The first fruits is really nice, because no one thinks about the first fruits, but who's the first fruit? Jesus said He was the first fruits unto God. But nobody even knows that. Nobody talks about it. Anyway, early the first day of the week, Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead, which is 3 days and three nights later. Most verses say He rose the third day. Anyway, you see how we counted from Thursday and got to 3 days and three nights? We didn't need any special calculator. We just know how to count. I don't know how 1.5 billion people think that Jesus died on Friday. That's like they can't count. We're not talking about a big-time calculus equation. We're talking about counting 1, 2, 3. Anyway, the first day of the barley harvest was brought as an offering to the priest in the tabernacle or the temple. The priest would present the first of the harvest unto the Lord by waving them back and forth. He gives it back to the Lord. This reminds the Hebrews that God gave them the land and the harvest belongs to Him. You can read that in Corinthians. And Yeshua, or Jesus, resurrected, marking the beginning of the harvest of souls. Yes. John 12, 23, 24, and 32 show Jesus was likened to a grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying to produce a great harvest. Yeshua, Jesus, rose on first fruits. And people don't like Sunday, but that's too bad. He rose on the first day of the week. We like every day. So, anyway, 50 days later, after 50 days later over here, first fruits, 50 days later was the giving of the Torah. At Jesus' time, 50 days from the resurrection was the giving of the Holy Spirit. It's a real nice picture if you look at it in a video, probably, if we talk about it again, you could actually see how, man, this matches this. But I never knew that, nobody knows about the Feast of the Lord. If you know about the Feast of the Lord, not the Feast of Moses, not the Feast of the Jews, not the Feast of anybody, it's the Feast of your God that nobody even knows. They all have something to do with the first and second coming of the Messiah. Remember we read earlier that the trumpet sounded louder and louder and louder. Remember that? And God came down. One day, the trumpet is going to sound again at the sound of the last trump, and God is going to come back. Why do you think we do the memorial of blowing the trumpets? The four feasts talk about the second coming of the Messiah. We have the memorial of remembering the sound of the trumpet. We have the Day of Atonement. We have the Feast of Tabernacles, right? You might say, well, what in the world is that? Well, we want you to hear the sound of the trumpet. You better be forgiven, atoned, if you want a tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. That's why we rehearse them every year. The word Hag in Hebrew means a feast, and it comes from Hagag, which means something that goes around in a circle, something that goes around every year. So we rehearse these feasts every year until the Lord comes, because one day the trumpet really is going to sound. And you better be atoned, because you can't ask for forgiveness if the Lord comes back. It's too late. That's if you want a tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. So we build that little thing called a sukkah, a booth. You ever see that? We build that in our yard, a little sukkah, which that's another whole story. But anyway, I thank all you people from around the world for being here. And I see a lot of people. Wow, a lot of people from around the world are here today. Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm going to end the study. God bless you. If anybody has any questions or comments, you are more than welcome to ask any questions you want. I say praise the Lord and have a Shabbat Shalom. Praise the Lord, everyone.